session for behalf of Debbie and Anne and Robbie. It's just great to be here. It's great to be here. I'm saying that because it's some sadness because we have some friends here from Gloucester who have come up, which is they have just been part of my journey in Gloucester. So it's a little bit bittersweet, and because I know that it's time, it's end of one era and the beginning of another, but they will be soon getting a new pastor as well. There's a little verse in the book of John. It's fairly straightforward, right at the beginning of John. And it says, there was a man sent from God, and his name was John. There was a man sent from God. So it's fairly easy to remember. I feel like James Bond, there was a man sent from God, and his name was John. Paul Michael John. Well, that's fine, bye. What we have to understand is, it's difficult because in all of the leadership's process of finding a new pastor, in my process of knowing the right time to leave one church and go to another, sometimes as human beings we're trying to put little bits of information together to know something's right. But there's a far greater sense that the purposes of God is the map that we're trying to follow. Trying to find out what it is God is saying for our lives, for our church, for our city. And I believe, as time has gone on, and it's been a long wait for you guys, for a new pastor to come, that this is just right. So thank you for the invitation. Thank you for the leaders inviting us to come and to meet you in the next stage of your journey. A little bit of a background to who I am and where I've come from. I grew up in Glasgow with a very, very disjointed family. I won't scare you by giving you the details of that right at the moment. But at the age of 15 or so, my parents left home and went to stay with my sister. In all due course, a few of the children who were just living together as children, we got saved and God just stepped into that arena. And I just began to discover God in an amazing way, and something began to happen. Became hungry, more hungry for the things that God wanted for me. I got saved in the Neyland Church when I was 15. When I was about 17, I would often go to Scottish youth camps. And when I was about 17, I had the opportunity to just share a little 10-minute address at one of those camps. And one of the pastors at that camp just spotted something in me. And he really encouraged me to think about the ministry. He sensed the great sense of enthusiasm and care that that's something that I should think about. And that conversation at the end of that presentation, whether he's aware of it or not, changed the course of the direction and the call of God on my life. There was a man sent from God. His name was Paul. God, at that moment of encouragement, a simple word of encouragement, had such an amazing impact on my life that steered me on a journey of ministry. Just for the sake of clarity, the name of that pastor was Graham Hutchison. I tell you that because if this whole thing goes badly wrong, you've got somebody to blame. Please don't tell them that. And I just began to go on I loved God's words. I loved worship. I say I loved worship I'm not very musical. I'm not musical at all. I'm not allowed, in all the churches that I've been at, I've not been allowed to touch any musical instruments. And so I'm not allowed to sing. There's only one singer that I've really been able to sing along well with, and that's Bob Dylan. So I'm not very musical. I do have a, I'm the only one that believes this, that I can dance really well. But anybody that knows me well enough knows that that's fundamentally not true. And when they see me dancing, wonder if they should call an ambulance or not. I've had three pastorates since leaving Bible College. We first went to Ludlow, small church in Shropshire, and of only of about 15 or so people was our very church, first church, and God just blessed that church in such an amazing way. It just grew and grew and grew until there was well over 100 people in a very short space of time. And that just kind of threw me into realizing that God could do anything that he wanted, even through someone who was very unsure of himself. And then I was called to be the pastor of the Edinburgh Central Church. And I was there for 20 years as pastor, through incredible time of personal change and incredible time of church change. When I went there, it was a very traditional church, financially it was very broken and quite in a bit of a mess. And just through God's amazing grace, things began to change in the fellowship. We had an old building, which we sold as a restaurant. We bought some offices, which was the first floor up above, some other shops. Quite remarkable as I come back and I look at the situation here in York. But God turned our finances around in just such an amazing way, from really just having negative equity to having over £1 million in assets. And I take no credit for that. I just had to stand back and watch what God was doing. We've got an amazing church centre now there in Edinburgh. And then just through personal change and getting married to the lovely Deborah, we decided that it was best for us to start as a married couple somewhere else, and off to Gloucester we went. Okay then. And we've been there for about 5.5, almost 6 years for that. But we did feel that the time had come as I entered into another phase of my ministry and what God was saying, that it was time for me to consider the possibility of another church and just where I was at and what I thought God was saying. And there were some personal reasons going on that caused us to come to that decision as well. So here I am. I've been a pastor now for 30 years, so quite a long time. And there are things that are very important to me that I just want to explain to you a little bit about. Anything that I say to you is not static, because God isn't static. God is changing me all the time. So even though I say, that's who I am, that's what I do, that's not fixed. And God is just always molding me, shaping me, teaching me new things. Every church I go to, I learn new things. Listen, I watch, I observe. There's only one thing that's a constant in my life, and that is I like really, really, really nice coffee. And that's not going to change. Okay then. The poor people in Gloucester, they're here. When I first got to Gloucester, I made such a big issue that everybody was scared to make me coffee. They used to live in here like that. Do you want a cup of tea? Bless them. The first and foremost thing that I've worked on, particularly over the last 10 years, is the importance of preaching. It's not for me to judge whether I'm a good preacher or not. you will be the judge of that. My previous congregation will be the judge of that. God will ultimately decide. But I believe in the life-changing power of the gift of preaching. I believe that preaching has got the ability to transform lives. It comes through human vessels which make mistakes and say at times daft things. But I believe that God has given preaching to the church in order to mature, bring the church to a place of maturity. And I value preaching probably more now than I ever did. I'm passionate about preaching. I'm passionate about good preaching. I spend more and more time in my sermon preparation probably than I ever did. Such is the value that I place on that. And you'll see why that is the case, not so much this morning, but in the weeks to come. The other thing that I feel very, very strongly about is team. Team, I am so aware of my own shortcomings and my failings before my family and before God, and at times before my congregation. I'm aware of my shortcomings. But God has given me the ability to realize that the lack that I have, that He has given someone else to make up the difference. So I watch people. You find me staring in there. I don't mean to be rude. I'm just watching and trying to listen what God is saying in and through people's giftings. I'm just listening to that prophetic sign of God having His hands upon individuals. God's leaders are not always the leaders that we see at the front of the church. Sometimes it just takes someone, like something that happened to me 35 years ago with a single word of encouragement that changed the course of my life. Sometimes God just drops a moment, and we'll come back to that word in a moment. But we'll come back to the word moment. But there's a moment in each of our lives where God just drops drop of ink into the water, and it just goes out, and it just spreads out, and it changes our lives. And we have those moments. We just have to be sensitive for them and respond to them when they happen. So I believe fundamentally in the ministry and the priesthood of all believers. I believe that everybody should be involved in the ministry of the church. All hands on deck. Dare I say to you this morning that I am not the answer to your prayers. You're the answer to your prayers. And God has got something for you that we are going to have to work together to unlock that thing so that we can see the kingdom of God released into the city of York. We have to understand that our church is not just for our church, it's for our city. We exist because of the people who live in the city of York. It's Spurgeon who said that the church is the only organization designed for its non-members. So believe in releasing people into ministry. I love it when I see young and old people rise up in their God moment. And they realize that they can do something. I remember when I didn't really go to school. I was notorious for playing instruments. Okay then, and I just probably went to school about 2 days a week. So I had no knowledge of anything really. I didn't care anything about school or learning. And I remember that time that I referred to at youth camp when I was invited one of the youth camp leaders to get another else. Something clicked in my heart even before Graham said to me that God's calling was on my life. I realized that something had just somebody had turned a key in my life, and I realized that having been completely uneducated, that I had the ability to communicate. Before, I just used to just panic at thought even reading from a book out loud at school. And nobody brought that to happen. I just got up and I just had to think, and I realized I could do this. Somebody else recognized that. In God's moment, began to happen. I talk about ministry and about everybody being in ministry, but there is a fundamental principle, and I have five golden statements that I have built my ministry around. I won't give all of them to you today, but the first one is relationship. Relationship before ministry. You can't minister unless you minister out of the context of love and accountability. So when we have a working understanding and a mutual respect, and let's go deeper than that, a Christ-centered love for one another, and then we go forward together in ministry, what begins to take place is that when mistakes happen, we're able to forgive and encourage and support one another. There are people who want to minister and they're not in a relationship. They want the recognition without the accountability. And I've always placed of the highest importance that we minister out of relationship. The other thing that I do is I just love honouring people. I honour people past and present. I recognise that standing here before you today is there's been a long line of pastors that have stood before me and have given years of service to this church. There are elders and leaders and ministry leaders that have made this church what it is today. And so I'm only a cog in a much bigger wheel. So I realize that even as the pastor, and with the recognition that comes with that, I'm only part of something that is far greater than I. So I always, always honor people past and present. I am a very visual person. Visual statements. Because people who don't know Christ, because they're uninitiated in the voice of God, they see with their eyes and not with their heart or with their ears. And so we as a church, and particularly through the shape of my ministry, is I believe that the statement that we make about ourselves is going to be an important stepping stone to those who have not yet found Christ. I'm all too aware that people can get saved in an isolated room on their own in the middle of nowhere. God has made us creatures, people who respond to visual statements. And that's why at times the world is so successful in its advertising. We just have to perhaps think about how we do that is through the gifting that God has given me. I'm very techie, you know, a bit of a techie dating young man. I don't know if I should. I like Apple stuff. Okay then, we should back news for the treasurer. Okay then. I like technology. I like what we can do with technology in terms of presentation and in terms of communication. And that's just how I am. We appreciate that other people will approach communication differently. I do like coffee. I'm going to, some people call it an addiction, and they're bad people. Bad people, they have no idea what they're talking about. Okay then, so, yes, I like coffee, and I like nice coffee. Okay then, don't be filled with fear on that. If I come into your house, and I may just say, can I make my own? Or I might just say, I may just see what you're saying, and just say, honestly, I'm not thirsty. don't get them. I have come as senior pastor to bring pastoral covenant to the church. I say that hesitantly because I'm much more than that. I've come to lead you. Come to lead you into the purposes of God for this next season of your church life. And that is the part that excites me. Seeing things prophetically that we could be doing, or should be doing, or able to do. And convincing the leadership that that's the right thing to do, and going forward as a team. There are three fundamental things that attract people in this time that we live. And that's how we do welcome, and how we do worship, and how we do words. Those three components are something that we will work on very hard in order to move into the next season. There is a fourth one, which is nice coffee, but I think it begins with tea, so we've got wonderful coffee. There are things, and you will appreciate this, that I will want to change. It's no reflection at all on the past. Don't take that, it's not my style in any way to say that the past was any worse than the present. But God has sent me to lead this, so there will be seven things I will put my mark upon. The leadership are good with that. That's why they invited me. I've had one or two conversations with Graham, and he's good with that. And so, I hope and pray that you'll be okay with that as well. Because that, I have to bring who I am to the table. We need to see that that's part of the identity that God has shaped me into, and I'll bring that to you in the weeks and in the months and in the year to come. There are things that pastorally, probably like any pastor, that I don't do so well. I don't do grumbling. I just okay then. And so, if there's anyone who's inclined to do a wee bit of grumbling, and I just get a glazed look over on my face, just go up a gear. It's not just about me today. It really, really is. We stand here as a congregation, and it's about us, it's about you, and it's about me, and it's about God. I don't have a magic wand. I don't. Okay then. You're my magic wand. And so, I believe that God has an appointment for every single one of us. God has an appointment of ministry. He's a possession of it. But many of us are trapped in this appointment. And so what we need to do is to move out of disappointment into our appointment. We need to begin to believe that God has a moment, a creative prophetic word that will launch us like a catapult into something awesome and something amazing for us individually and corporately. And for that to happen, sometimes our perspective needs to change. Because like me, even in being in Gloucester, even for a short time of 5 or 6 years, it's easy for all of us to get into a little bit of a rut. It's just easy, it just happens. Congregations do it, pastors do it, leaders do it. And sometimes God brings that moment to get us to understand that being in a rut is not going to bring us into the environment of God's blessed plan. We cannot be indifferent to the advancing kingdom of God. We just can't be indifferent. We've just got to be just enthusiastic about God. It's such a great word, isn't it? It's one of my favourite words, enthusiastic. You know, it's Greek for entheo, in God, enthusiastic, and we're pumped up for Jesus, we're ready, we're kingdom people, we believe in the church, we believe in the Spirit, we believe in the Word of God. And it's changing our lives and it's transforming our city. God is wanting to bring us to a place of intimacy. The battle for intimacy rages in the heavens. And everything in a W sense is about distraction and about boredom and about complaint. For God, it's the preciousness of being with Him. They enjoy His company and they enjoy one another's company. And so for us to advance, we cannot be spectators. Jesus says, "He who does not gather with me scatters." There's no middle ground. You're in the boat or you're out of the boat. So we come to this moment of last night, today, of induction. It's more than just meet and greet, isn't it? You know, just like, let's go and see the new pastor, see what he looks like. See if we can understand the Scottish accent. See if we like this guy or not. The introductions to it. There has to be something prophetic that's swirling about the heavens and our hearts that is just all over this weekend, this moment. This moment is not a still photograph that we take with a photograph and put on the website. It's a movie. This moment in time needs to have momentum. Because momentum is about direction and it's about purpose. And God's moments are never meant to stand still, but they're meant to be encased in momentum. And so God has this weekend as a launch pad for momentum. and direction. It's not a still photograph, it's a moving video. We need to come together as a church to hear not what I've got to say, but what the Holy Spirit has got to say. We need to come together and we need to gather together in prayer, and we need to just draw a blank sheet out and listen to the voice of God. And even if we get a little bit of things wrong in that journey, it's so much easier to change the direction of a moving locomotive than it is still really Indian. And Elisha says, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes so that he may see, and the Lord opened his servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And it's all to do with perspective. It's all to do with believing that God is for us. It's all to do with believing in yourselves. It's all to do with being enthused by the empowering presence of God, the Holy Spirit, to be engaged with the ministry and work of Jesus. So, that's a little bit of who I am. It's not my whole story. It's not everything that I am about. It's not a fixed story, it's a changing story. And me coming to York is just another chapter in what God is doing in my life, what's doing in your life. But I pray that we will be able to enjoy the next amazing season that God has for us, and He has got some amazing things for us. Shall we all stand?